talking with Anime Kenny today, and today we're going to be talking about organic foods. Is that correct, Anime?
Yes, I wanted, this will be a two-part series, because today I'd like to talk about comparing organics to non-organics.
Right.
And the fact that there was a British study done on and released on Wednesday, July 29th of this year, and it had the news media, the mainline news media, in a frenzy, and everybody was saying on all the channels, including in the Canadian ones, that there's no difference between non-organic food and organic food. And if you review the study that was done, very few nutrients were measured. They measured iron, how much iron, and how much protein, calories, carbohydrates, vitamin C, calcium, and that's about it that was found in these different vegetables. And they did find a little bit of difference being detected in the levels of nitrogen and phosphorus. But they said that was most likely caused by the difference in fertilizers. Well, the difference in fertilizers is the key to all of this, because fertilizers and insecticides, pesticides, herbicides of all kinds will deplete the soil.
Okay.
And when the soil is depleted, it doesn't pass on the trace minerals that you get in organic soil. Now, this is all about trace minerals. Let me give you an example. During the 1940s, you could eat about a half a cup of greens, assorted greens, any kind of greens from your backyard garden, and you would acquire enough magnesium, calcium, and all the trace minerals that your body needs, including zinc and, I'm trying to think of them all, copper, I mean, iodine. People today are so low in so many of these trace minerals, especially the mineral magnesium.
Okay, magnesium.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and to eat the same amount of minerals, trace minerals in your food today, you'd have to eat like 4 cups, maybe even more, maybe even 8 cups, if you're getting your produce from a local store where it's non-organic and it's been shipped. Example, first of all, it comes off the field with less nutrients.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's picked and put in a truck and shipped to you, or an airplane in some cases, depending how it's shipped, okay?
Right.
Every few hour or so, these vegetables are losing their trace minerals. So say it starts off with a quarter of what it would be normal for you to go out the back door and pick in an organic garden. By the time you get it, it's got nothing.
Okay.
So people come to me, and they write to me, and they say, I'm eating so good. I'm eating tons of Swiss chard and broccoli, and I should be getting all the calcium I need and all the magnesium I need, and why am I having health problems, and why is this happening? And if they're not getting it. They're just not getting it if they're getting store vegetables.
Right, okay, because they're missing all these trace elements.
Yeah. And they're not just missing, they're only trace elements in some cases, but if you're eating a good, rich, like, say, a red variety of Swiss chard,
right,
you are getting a very good amount of magnesium.
Mm-hmm.
They're rich in magnesium. Broccoli has magnesium. It has calcium. It's a good source of mixed, healthy, bone-building minerals. But, again, if you go in the store and you're buying that head of broccoli that was grown in California, the soil was used for the same broccoli year after year, the same chemicals were put on it, it's depleted. And your little head of broccoli is going to have some fiber, maybe some vitamin C left, maybe some iron left, but you're not going to have the amounts of minerals that you need.
Okay, makes sense.
I mean, that's just my opinion. And also, this study that was done, it doesn't cover even one-fifth of what is needed by the human body. I mean, so it has the same calories, and something has the same carbohydrates. Those things aren't quickly lost in shipping and packaging, or in the growing of it in non-organic soil.
Okay.
And this study comes right out and says that it is disqualifying all of the previous studies that were done in comparing non-organic and organic food.
Okay.
What right does one study have to disallow all the previous work that has been done over the years?
Exactly.
Yeah. So this was put out to get people to believe that organics know better than non-organic. Okay, so let's take that assumption that organic is no better than non-organic and look at another factor. What does organic not have in it that you don't want in your body?
Oh, that's another good factor to look at, right?
Yeah, well, in my article on organics, that's one thing that I've really covered, because it's much more important to look at what organics do not have. We know that a lot of studies have shown that pesticides in the food cause problems. A lot of these pesticides are carcinogens. They are known to cause cancer. The same with the oil-based fertilizers that they're using on the ground. They are known to cause cancer. But yet, they're in our food because they're absorbed through the water system of the vegetable. Like, I'm going to take a vegetable like lettuce, where you say, well, it's not the type of fertilizer you're using is not going to make that much of a difference. Well, it absorbs the water from the soil. And in the water from the soil is the residue of the fertilizer. And it goes into the vegetable. So when you eat that vegetable, the water in it has the fertilizer in it. Maybe just in trace amounts, but it's there. So that's how you're getting it, through this whole systematic system of the vegetable itself. Because it's a living thing, and it's just like we have veins in our body where our blood circulates through. The blood of the plant would be the fluid system,
mm-hmm.
Okay?
Right.
And in that fluid system, it absorbs its fluids from the soil it's grown in.
That makes sense, right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, that's just one factor. Now take the stuff that's sprayed on top of it, and it goes right through the layers of the vegetable. Like if you get a head of, say, iceberg lettuce,
right,
and you think, well, I'll just remove the outer leaves. Well, that plant sat in the rain, and that chemical that they sprayed on there, that insecticide, that makes them all look so nice and uniform and so perfect, it's soaked through into the heart of the vegetable.
It would be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're getting that in you. So people say, well, why buy organics and pay a little bit more? It's not really that much more. And pay a little more if the nutrients are not more. Well, forget about the nutrients. They are more, first of all. But the thing is that what you're not getting is herbicides, fungicides, which is herbicides too, and insecticides and chemical fertilizers.
Right, exactly. You're not getting the toxins.
You're not getting the toxins. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, there's just so many things to look at when you're talking about growing these different things. And each garden plot, okay, when you really can't dig up or pick, whichever, if it's a ground vegetable or a root vegetable or a surface vegetable like a tomato, and say that, well, this came from such and such a garden, and it's all organic, so I'm going to compare it with vegetable A, the organic one, with vegetable B, the non-organic one, and this is going to give me a comparison for all the vegetables grown this way. That is the most ridiculous thing in the world. Let me give you an example. In 1976, I bought my farm here in Bury. Mm-hmm. I had been an organic gardener for years in Montreal and enriched my soil with compost and so on. But I had to leave that beautiful soil behind to move out here. I couldn't take it with me.
No.
So I figured, well, I'm on a farm. There should be no problem. I'll just start composting and build up my soil. Well, little did I know that when I bought the place, I found out a few months later that the people that owned this little place tried to raise pigs. And in their attempt to farm, they put a chemical called Vision, which is a relative down the line from Agent Orange. They use in the Vietnam War.
Mm.
It's a herbicide. And it's very commonly used, or it was very commonly used here in the Eastern Townships. And when it gets into your land, it takes about 20 years to get it out of your groundwater.
That's a long time.
Yes. It's got a long lifespan. So I know that my groundwater has been polluted. And I know that it's probably caused me health problems along the way. But I didn't realize I didn't know anything about this herbicide when I moved here. And I didn't realize until I went out and started trying to grow a garden what it did to the land. There were no earthworms. I wanted to go fishing one day. This is in 76. So I went out at night for night crawlers with a flashlight.
Right.
And it was a wet evening like you're supposed to go out on. And I had never had trouble catching night crawlers in my life. I mean, when I was 5 years old, I used to go out with my dad and catch night crawlers. And I went everywhere, under this place, around that bush, everywhere I could go. There were no worms.
Amazing.
So, that was the fall of that year. And then I started getting ready to plant a garden the next spring. And I dug up areas. There was no earthworms. Nowhere. Nothing. I found nothing alive moving in the soil. Not a bug.
Wow.
And I said to myself, what's wrong? Because, I mean, I hadn't found out about this poison, what it was at that time. And then I started investigating it after that. And I realized that nothing would grow. So the only way I could get around that was to build garden boxes and to bring in soil and compost and grow them in the boxes above the ground.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And not grow it in the ground.
Raised beds.
Mm-hmm. Does that make sense to you?
It does make sense, yeah. It's amazing.
Well, that was a major project, and a lot of work. And I started composting right away. I started right away when I moved here. I didn't wait a day to start composting. And that's how I started gardening here, and the only way I could grow anything for years. I mean, you couldn't just take a rototiller, which I had at the time, and till something and put some manure in and compost in and get something back, because it still had this poison in that was killing everything.
Right, it would, yeah, because it takes 20 years, you said.
To really get out of the soil, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It goes down in the soil and into your groundwater, and it's in there for a long time. But the top part of the soil, it didn't, I guess it was about 20 years it lasted, because I keep forgetting I'm here 30 years now, and I'm just using different places in the ground now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been hard to get rid of it.
It would be.
It's been really, really hard. Okay, so get back to our little discussion on this. So you see, I was with good intentions, already an organic gardener, and I knew how to organic garden. And I wasn't using any chemicals at all. So you would say that what I was growing was organic. But if it was grown in this soil that had been used so many years prior, and been depleted, there wouldn't be any nutrients in what I was growing.
No.
That's why I had to make the boxes and put my own stuff in it and start from the beginning.
Okay.
So you would lack the nutrients, but you'd also have the chemicals still. And even though it was organic, and I could say it was organic because it was organic from the time I started.
Mm-hmm.
And so, say, even 2 years after I was growing, which I think is the, you're supposed to be organic for 2 to 5 years or something like that to be certified, I still would have had the residue and I still would have had depleted soil. So to say that you picked a vegetable that was organically grown and compare it with a vegetable that was non-organically grown and saying that just those that one garden compared to the other garden is going to set a standard that we are going to measure the world by is so inaccurate, it's unreal.
I can see that now, yes.
Yeah, because, I mean, the vegetables I'm growing now compared to the vegetables I could grow then would have so much more vitamins in them now. And a good organic garden, a certified organic grower, that's been at it for years and that has taken a good care of his soil would have more than someone else who just is certified.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So you just can't measure it like that and say that, oh, this is a test and this says it all and everybody should follow this.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, now I've been at it here 35 years, and I know my garden is doing just great, and my vegetables are healthy, except when they lack sun, like this year.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But, you know, there's just so many things to consider. The health consequences of going to the store and taking something like an apple. Where is the nutrients in an apple? A simple apple. The nutrients are right next to the skin, in the skin and right closest to the skin. Now, if you have to take that apple home and say, okay, this was sprayed with such and such, and I can't let my child or my grandchild eat it, so I'm going to peel that apple. You're not just getting rid of the insecticide and the herbicide and the wax that they put on. And now, the wax that they're putting on these apples also contains a fungicide.
Oh, okay.
That a lot of people don't know.
No, I don't think many people know that.
You don't want that in your gut.
No.
But you got your fungicide from the wax that they put on. And they say the wax is safe. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. And you don't want this stuff in your system, so you peel the apple. Well, you might as well just throw out the apple because the rest of the apple's got very little to offer compared to the skin and what's next to the skin.
Okay. I don't think many people know that. The nutrients are a lot of nutrients in the skin.
Most of the good part is just under the skin and in the skin, yes.
Okay.
And your orange, you say, well, I'm peeling the orange for the child. I'm peeling it. Well, before you peel it, take it to the sink. Lather your hand with a safe soap. And I mean a safe soap, like pure, non-scented Ivory bar soap, because that's the most economical pure soap. There are a lot of organic soaps, and I highly recommend them. And don't use commercial soaps made with commercial oil and additives, because you don't want these things in your system. So Ivory soap is pure. So I lather up my hand with an Ivory soap, wash the outside of the orange. A cantaloupe, a nice, beautiful cantaloupe you get from the store. Take it to the sink, lather it up. You'll be shocked at how filthy it is.
Really?
It will change tone about three shades lighter by the time you wash it.
Mm.
It is filthy. It's laid on the ground. It's been handled by farm workers. It's been tossed into carts. You don't know what that has come in contact with, not alone what it's been sprayed with.
That's true.
And I washed one. I got three Ontario-grown cantaloupes. And I figured, well, our pesticides are a lot safer than anything coming from South America, Mexico. I wouldn't even buy a vegetable from Argentina. We're not allowed in Canada to use DDT. There are so many chemicals that are banned in the United States and banned in Canada that are used throughout North America and South America and Mexico.
Interesting. I think a lot of people don't realize that.
No, but they have to realize it because they see these inexpensive oranges coming up from Argentina, and they say, well, they got skins on them. If they have a little spray, what the heck? I'm peeling it. No, no. This goes, a good deal of those sprays, especially things like DDT, go through the skin into the orange.
Mm-hmm.
They're absorbed.
Exactly.
They're absorbed through the stem system of the orange as it takes in moisture. In other words, it's circulatory system, just like our blood system. I mean, what we eat, and it goes through our blood system, and it circulates through our body. And if you look at these vegetables as little beings instead of something of inanimate and that we're going to just pick it and eat it, they're alive. I'm not trying to go freaky on you mm-hmm. and saying that, you know, it hurts them when you kill them or something stupid like that. No, 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 no. I'm just saying that they're an alive food.
That's right. Right.
And a living food that has a circulatory system. And what they eat is going to affect you and your circulatory system.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So if you must get these imported vegetables, at least, even the Ontario-grown cantaloupes, I still washed it. I still lathered it up. And I couldn't believe it. I put it over a plate and lathered it up, and then I rinsed it off. And it was three shades lighter, and it was muddy what came off of it.
Mm, okay, and the taste of the soap doesn't go through?
No, you just rinse it really good.
Okay.
And you're using you don't use a perfume soap.
No.
You're using a plain 99% pure ivory bar soap. That's the cheapest soap you can buy. And it's probably the only safe one that's commercially sold right now on the shelves. Because if you're using deodorant soap every morning and stuff like this, you're absorbing chemicals into your body through your underarms and other places. And it's extremely dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
These chemicals, the chemicals are capable of changing your hormones.
They would be. Mm-hmm.
They're just like the chemicals that we're using in home deodorizers. Everybody's buying these home deodorizers, and they're spraying mists in the air every 10 seconds, or they're giving off a smell all day. The people who have young male children and infant male children are seeing a rise in feminine qualities in these boys because it is changing the hormones.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I have read that.
Yeah. And there's plenty of studies on it. And you can read plenty of studies. But a lot of the people listening to this broadcast are not on the internet. That's why I keep encouraging. Oh, there's a lot of young people that definitely are, and I'm so happy that they are. But if they know, if a young person's listening to this and they have a neighbor who's like, say, over 60 and doesn't know how to get on the computer and doesn't have the internet, help them. Go over and help them because we need everybody to be able to access this type of information.
It's a wealth of information and so important.
Yeah, it is. And until the internet was possible, I didn't get my information from anything but libraries and buying lots of books and having my own personal library of over 1,000 books.
Okay.
And, I mean, I've always had a lot of books and reference books and things like that. But to get back to this, you also have to take into consideration when you're buying vegetables and you're talking about what part of the world it comes from. Over the years, a lot of vegetables have been imported to Canada from the Ukraine.
From the Ukraine?
Yeah. You have to go look at that. And a good deal comes from China. And you really have to start reading the labels. I had another article I did on the deception of the new Canadian label system. You really have to learn what it means. It's confusing. And I don't have that prepared to talk to you about today because it's very complicated, but it has to be 100% product of Canada on the label.
That's a good thing to know.
And it can't say made in Canada, because if it's made in Canada, it could be assembled in Canada.
Right.
It doesn't mean it's 100% product of Canada. So you want product of Canada on the label. And it's not going to guarantee you that you're not going to get insecticides and pesticides and herbicides. What it's going to guarantee is that you're not going to get any that are outlawed by our government. And that is a big enough issue alone, because there are some that you don't even want to come close to.
No.
And Argentina and South America and a lot of countries do not have those regulations. Whereas Europe is tighter in some things than we are. I'll give you an example. In Europe, in Great Britain and most of the European Union, consumers have to be notified that they're eating GMO foods, genetically modified organisms. And people say, well, man has been playing around with food since ever he started growing food. No, not exactly. Man has taken seed and made them pollinate each other, cross-pollinated seeds, and worked at cross-breeding seeds, making hybrids, like crossing one flower with another flower to make a blue flower. You know what I'm saying?
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Or taking a really sweet corn that he grew and pollinating that with a different corn for a different quality. Okay, those are hybrids. I don't recommend hybrids because they don't grow true. If you're going to grow your own seed, you do not want to buy hybrid seed, because you won't be able to take the seed from the produce you grew and have the same type of vegetable come from that seed that you liked the taste of.
Okay, so it's just like human genetics then.
Yes, mm-hmm. It resorts right. back to a parent.
Mm-hmm.
It goes back. And it may take many of the same qualities for that year, but the next year it may resort even further back.
Okay.
And they're not predictable at all. Now, that's just hybrid. There's nothing wrong with eating hybrid. They're not going to kill you. They're just two normal plants that God created from the same family, like a corn to a corn, a beet to a beet, a carrot to a carrot, a pink dahlia to a white dahlia, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And they're being your family, my family mixing.
Right.
A black man, a white woman mixing.
Mm-hmm.
They're still human beings. These plants are still natural, but you just, they cause a problem when you're going to try to reproduce them.
Okay.
Eating them is no problem. You go to the store, you buy this hybrid. It could be an organically grown hybrid in organic soil. So it's not going to cause you a health problem. Genetically altered food is totally a different ballgame. It would probably take two shows to explain to you everything about it, but I'll try to summarize, because this is another factor in guaranteeing or why you would want to go out of your way to purchase organically. Forget the insecticide for a minute. Forget the herbicide for a minute. And forget the fact that you're getting more nutrients from the organic vegetables. You may not believe either one of those things. But you have to know that the genetically altered food is in everything that you get at your grocery store right now. Anything that contains corn that is not certified organic, soy, canola, let's see what else. There's a whole list of them, but those are the main characters.
Okay.
Almost all your oils, almost all the things that have these products. And if you go into the grocery store right now and take a paper and pencil with you, and just for fun, go from aisle to aisle and pick up a box of anything you like, any prepared food you like, and you're going to find a corn product in that food.
Corn is in almost everything.
Almost everything in one way or another. It's corn oil, corn starch, corn meal, corn flour. You're going to find corn in it one way or another. And then there's other products that are made from corn under other names that are also in the products.
Okay.
So when you're selecting a product and you're going in, you're writing down, you take your paper with you and your pencil with you, and you see how many of them have corn. That corn is right now contaminated with GMOs. Even if it's not GMO corn, a good deal of the corn in North America is contaminated. They say that we are losing one organic corn producer a month.
That's
because
amazing.
Of cross-contamination.
Okay.
Because you can be 5 miles from a cornfield that's using GMO corn, and your corn can be contaminated.
That's quite a big distance, too.
Yeah. I heard one person say 10 miles, but I didn't believe it.
Yeah.
But there's research done, and they're saying that if you've got a good wind and you're in an open field and like a prairie situation, mm-hmm. it can be that far. I don't know. I can't verify that, but I have heard it being up to 5 miles. And the thing is that insects, they get it on their feet. They go into the cornfield. They get it on their feet while they're pollinating the GMO corn. And they fly off, and then they land on your corn, and they've passed on the genes.
Mm.
Okay. So how I've solved this problem for myself is that, well, first of all, we don't have anything even near us with GMOs. But I still, as a precaution, grow my seed corn, only my seed corn, in my greenhouse
okay.
every year. It's just one staggered row of seed corn,
mm-hmm.
enough for the next year's seeding. And you don't need much corn for seed corn when you have a little place like mine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we just grow a little teeny bit of corn, mm-hmm. just enough for a treat in the summer, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's nothing big. But the thing is, I don't want GMO corn, so I grow my seed corn in the greenhouse. And my outside corn, if it did get cross-pollinated, I don't worry about it, because that corn will not have the gene in it until it grew next year.
Okay, right.
So, I mean, the corn I'm eating now would not hurt my system if it was cross-pollinated. It would just be carrying the gene for next year.
Okay, okay.
As you planted it, you'd wind up with genetically altered corn.
So you would pollinate the corn growing in the greenhouse by hand then?
Yep,
okay.
by hand.
Mm-hmm.
And we've done that now 10 years at least.
Mm-hmm.
And I got beautiful corn, and I get beautiful corn every year, and it's the same corn. But I don't trust store corn at all, even sweet corn I don't trust at all, unless it's certified organic, because certified organic has to be tested. They have to have their corn tested every year to make sure that they didn't get cross-pollinated with any GMOs.
Okay.
So there's the basic reason why GMOs are so appealing. Now, in Europe, where, I mean, people seem to have more rights than we do as far as what we eat, they're told what products contain GMOs. So they can choose whether or not they want to eat them. Things have to be labeled that they contain GMOs. But here, there's no labeling. So the only way that you can guarantee, or at least try to guarantee, because I'm sure some get by even on an organic farm because of cross-pollination, that you're not getting GMOs is by choosing something certified organic.
Okay, certified organic, okay.
Okay.
You're listening to CJMQ 88.9 FM here in the Eastern Townships. We're talking to Anna Mae Kinney today, and it's about organic food.
Okay, you got any questions that you want to ask me about this GMO stuff or the organic stuff or anything?
Well, I was just wondering, in case people can't grow their corn in a greenhouse, is it possible that they order organic seeds, and this would work too, or every year, I guess?
Yeah, they can order organic seeds. Mm-hmm. They just have to find a source, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some seed companies are carrying them, but very few.
Very few. Okay.
And
I would imagine that they would be expensive, too.
No? Not that much more.
Okay.
I don't think they're that much more.
Mm-hmm.
You can order them. It would be good to get organic seeds, yes, but if you do want to save your seed corn, what you can do is put a mini greenhouse around just your corn.
Okay.
I mean, it wouldn't have to be very much, but you can put a just small little frame and maybe a few rows of corn in, which would also speed it up growing if you're in a cold climate like me. Because I don't know if you're taping this, but we have to start our corn in little flats. And it has to be, probably 3 to 4 weeks old almost before we set it outside, just to get the corn to mature in time.
Okay.
Because
this is something
it's a really cold climate. I'm in a cold, I'm in a little teeny box that's freezing. And even on a normal summer, we're a lot colder than Sherbrooke. Well, I've been here 30 years, and there was only a hot spell in the 90s of about maybe 3 years where we didn't freeze in the summer.
Okay.
So, I mean, that was our greenhouse effect, and that was our global warming, and now it's going back to cold. That's another topic that we've got to get on to.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But I was thinking, the thing is that the genetically altered food is causing health problems, and they're starting to prove it. And there's a big group of scientists on the side, on one side, that wants to promote all GMOs. And if you say anything, write anything in the newspaper about it, or say anything about it, they come at you like crazy. They have, they'll rebuke it, and they'll send you a letter telling you that it isn't true, and all this other stuff. Because they just want everything to be GMO. Because once they get everything GMO, they'll have complete control over our food. There's that fellow, Percy, out west that was a canola farmer.
Right.
And he did not grow GMO canola.
Mm-hmm.
But his neighbor did.
Right.
And it blew on him, and he was sued because it was in his canola, and he saved his seed. And he didn't want the GMO canola,
right?
But he still was sued. It was a really ugly case, and I think it's still going on in some forms or another. And there are many other farmers that are being sued. But once they have control over all the seed, you won't be able to buy anything that's not GMO.
Not even organic
seeds? No, and not internet? Unless you know somebody that's selling it. And there's a right now, the GMO companies and the other group, there's a lot of different companies, are buying up all our seed companies. They're buying them up, and they're putting them out of business. So that way we cannot get regular seed.
Okay, so seed companies, I guess their ambition is to buy all the seed companies and just owned under one particular...
Yeah, okay. Eventually they want it all GMO, and they'll have a patent on every seed. So there won't be any more God-given seeds in this world left where man can go and go outside and say, well, I got this corn, and I'm going to grow it myself. I'm saving the seed from this corn. You can't do that anymore because they're going to have a patent on all the corn.
Okay.
And they're going to have a patent on all the tomatoes, something wet and mushy like a tomato
mm-hmm.
or a squash
mm-hmm.
or a cucumber. Put them in the tea strainer and as they're running underwater,
mm-hmm.
gently press on them just to get the tomato muck off.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And after you rinse them off pretty good, take a old, the only use they have for me, these old melamine plastic dishes, which I wouldn't eat off of.
Mm-hmm.
They make great seed dryers.
Oh, okay.
Just tap
okay.
them onto mm-hmm. one of those plastic
mm-hmm.
dishes,
mm-hmm.
or you can use a heavy-duty paper dish, a paper plate,
okay.
and spread them out and set them someplace with a label. Take a piece of newspaper and a magic marker
mm-hmm.
and write what they are, write the date you got them, and don't confuse them. Because I dry grape tomato seeds,
right.
heritage beefsteak,
mm-hmm.
and my own plum Italian.
Okay.
And I've been keeping these seeds going for a long time. And you just label them and make sure each one's labeled, because once they're dried, they all look alike.
Mm-hmm, they will, yeah.
And you'll get them mixed up.
Exactly.
And you don't want to mix them up,
no.
and you don't want to grow your open pollinated seeds next to other open pollinated of the same variety.
Mm-hmm.
Like your Italians would cross with your heritage and you'd wind up with a different type of tomato.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's all natural. There would be nothing wrong with the tomato you got. You just would lose your qualities of the one you wanted.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, that's happened since time eternal.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not a genetically altered organism. It's a different thing. When we're talking genetically altered, we're talking now about insecticide being put into a corn. And that insecticide is in the corn grains and passed down through the next generation of corn. Now, they thought and they said for years that they've tested it, and it doesn't affect the human gut system. It doesn't stay in the human gut. Well, new research over the last 2 years is showing just the opposite, that it's causing colitis, ileitis, Crohn's disease. And if you heard this spring, the most shocking revelation by the Quebec Health Association that I think it's gone up like 5,000 people in Quebec, or I can't remember the figure now because I didn't keep it in my brain, I guess.
Mm.
But it's astronomical, and they say it's going to double in the next 5 years.
So it's on the rise.
It's going crazy right now. The Crohn's disease and the ileitis, colitis, and intestinal bowel diseases that they have.
And once you get these diseases, there's no turning back then?
Well, yes and no.
Okay.
It's very difficult to cure yourself of this.
Right.
But, it can be done, but it's not easy.
Okay.
Because this stuff lives and breathes. It colonizes. It depends on what it is. If it's a fungus or a bacteria, it can colonize. And these are insecticides. I don't know how they work. I really don't have the expertise with how insecticides would work in your system. But I do know there's research done that it is causing these types of problems in lab animals. In fact, it killed a whole group of rats that were forced to eat it.
Oh, my.
When rats and chickens are given GMO corn,
right.
Mm-hmm. Unless they're starving to death,
mm-hmm.
they refuse to eat it.
Okay. Okay, that's interesting, too.
Yes. Yes. The thing is, you just do not want this stuff in your gut.
No.
And the only, this is why organic food is important to keep going. And another thing about buying organics, a lot of Eastern Townshipers are into organics now. Your neighborhood farms, your neighborhood farmers markets, and by helping out your local grower, you're doing two things. You're helping the economy, and you're helping the low carbon use by not transporting these vegetables across country and keeping it within your region.
That's a good idea for people to think about.
Well, the thing is, buy local is part of the green movement, mm-hmm. and they're trying to work on this now, and they're talking a lot about it, but it also promotes the organic farms in our area.
Right.
And by helping the organic farms make a living, it will bring down the price of organic food.
Right, exactly, that's true.
The more people that buy it, the more people that grow it, and the more people that convert from... Once the farmer finds out that by going organic, he's actually going to save money in the long run. So the first step, the first couple of years, it may cost him more. But once he starts using natural fertilizers, and if he's able to have his own dimensional farm,
mm-hmm.
and not just stick to one item, and he's got livestock to produce some manure,
mm-hmm.
and he goes that route, and he composts his manure, and does the proper things with it, you're not having the runoff, and you're not having the stuff that causes all the problems with these commercial farms, because you're having the farms at a lower scale. They're not having 100 pigs. They're not having 300 cows. They're having small, little amounts of everything. And this is how you stop having the pollution that we're dealing with and the runoffs that are getting in our lakes and so on by encouraging little farmers.
Well, that makes sense. It's so important, and people really have to take note of that.
Yeah, I mean, if your kids are coming home from school or your grandkids are coming home from the school and they're saying, we have to do more stuff to help the environment, the first thing you can do, the very first thing you could do, is change what food you're eating. Don't put your money out. You're helping. Don't help these multinational corporations that farm on mass scale, that put human sludge from septic tanks on their fields. Do you know that?
No, I wasn't aware that they could even do that.
Oh, yeah. And do you know what's in this human sludge?
Bacteria of all different kinds and diseases.
Yes, yeah. Bacteria that are passed down to humans.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, pig bacteria. Okay, there's pig diseases, and we know that you can catch some things from pigs, yes, that are passed down, but only when circumstances allow them to get into the human system.
Mm-hmm.
And usually those circumstances aren't everyday normal circumstances of your small farmer with a couple of pigs.
Yeah.
It's something drastic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But using human sludge, you're getting female hormones in that sludge that are going into the fields, that are being absorbed into the food and the ground water,
mm-hmm.
which is becoming a major problem. Things like estrogen are being mm-hmm. found mm-hmm. in large amounts in ground water. And not just estrogen. You got progesterone, I think it is, and all these other hormones that are in birth control pills
mm-hmm.
that are flushed down the toilets and in the urine that are getting in the septic tanks and that are being put on our food. I don't want it. So, I mean, that alone is a good reason to go organic. Even if we just forget everything else I've talked about for the last hour,
mm-hmm.
I think just the fact that I'm not going to have human sludge on my food where my food is grown is a good enough reason.
True. And would this be in the South American countries? Or?
Actually, they're using it. They're doing it in Canada, too.
How are they allowed, though?
They're allowed. Look it up.
Okay.
Read it.
Mm-hmm.
I encourage everybody to start reading everything they can get their hands on. Reading was never as important of an issue as it is today. The reason why is right now there are bills before both the U.S. Congress and our Canadian Parliament to control us growing our own herbs. I wrote about it last year, Bill C-51. Don't know what's happened to Bill C-51 yet. Haven't heard if they're still trying to pass it. But they will have control over what you can grow if it's passed. But I like to grow garlic, and I like to grow sweet basil to cook with, and I like to make tea out of sweet basil. And there's a lot of things that helps control my blood pressure, or it cleans my arteries, or it helps prevent me from catching colds. You could be in big trouble legally. And if the bill would have been signed when I was fighting it, and so was all the health food stores across Canada fighting it, they had signs up, they had announcements everywhere to fight Bill C-51, you would be a criminal. You'd be treated like a criminal even when you're not a criminal. Well, I read the bill completely through when they wanted to pass it. And because I thought, oh, this cannot be in Canada. No way. Well, there's similar ones in the States, and the one they're trying to pass now in the States will make it almost illegal for you to be organic.
Okay. Well, that's something that people really need to read about, be aware of.
Well, next time we talk, I'd like to get over how everybody can go organic in their backyard and how easy it would be and what they can do and so on and so forth.
Very, very interesting. A real eye-opener there.
Yeah, well, the thing is, there's so much to it.
And thank you, Anna Mae. You've been listening to Anna Mae Kinney talking about organic food here on CJMQ 88.9 FM. Tune in again on October 12th. On Monday, 6 p.m., to hear Anna Mae Kinney again talk about organic food, and it will be part 2.